As Mike said, the title of my presentation today is Vegetation Response to Tornado Disturbance and Subsequent Salvage Logging in East Tennessee Okickery Forest, 14 years post-disturbance. Today I'm first going to give you some background information you need to know about the project, and then the justification for my research, followed by the objectives and methods of the study. Simple basis of this is on February 21st, 1993, an F3 tornado, Tennessee, and along its 10-mile path, it went through the University of Tennessee Forest Resources Research and Education Center. For the sake of brevity, I'm going to be experiment station for the presentation. Cultural experiment station. But the experiment station, 352 total acres were damaged by the tornado, and of those acres, 249 acres were considered to be heavily damaged. This is a map showing the path of the tornado. The red is areas that were partially damaged by the storm, and the blue is heavy damaged areas. The storm moved from west to east, and it didn't really touch down until this area right here where a lot of damage went. It then moved off the experiment station property towards the Bull Run steam plant, barely missed it, went over Haw Ridge, and then into Knox County. Damaged areas, this is a good picture of what it looked like after the storm. Most trees were blown down, either snapped off the main bole of the tree they were attached to, or trees were uprooted with their entire root ball exposed. Some trees were left intact, you can see over here, but most trees had at least crown damage, and then some trees were snapped off at the bole of the tree but still attached. Wind has been found to be one of the main causes of large-scale disturbance. This is especially true in the east, where the moist nature of our temperate forest prevents fire from being a real big disturbance regime. And large-scale wind disturbance has also been found to play a large role on stand composition in the future. This is true more so than smaller, more isolated wind disturbances. So in late 1993, after the storm hit, the folks at the experiment station decided to have a salvage harvest of the entire tornado area to help recover some of the financial losses from the storm. All standing, leaning, and down merchantable timber was harvested, essentially logged, whatever they thought they could get money for, and they were then scaled at the landing. But what was left was unmerchantable small diameter timber, left either standing, leaning, or on the ground. As you can see back here, a lot of small diameter trees were left. A lot were your shade tolerant species. They're in the mid-story. Larger trees that were left because they were so damaged from the storm they weren't really worth anything. Of that area that was salvaged, there were two areas that were left completely unharvested for the sake of research. They're characterized as having very large canopy gaps, as you can see, and large amounts of woody debris left on the site. What was left there was small and large diameter trees that were either left standing, leaning, or on the ground. And as you can see here, these three different trees, there are a lot of different diameter classes represented in this area. So after the salvage harvest, the crew at the experiment station went through in two different areas and slashed trees that were left standing. And when I say slash, I mean all trees that were greater than 2 inches. These trees, after they were cut, were just left on the ground to decompose. Now, adjacent to the tornado area, but not affected by the tornado, was a clear cut in the summer of 1989. It was part of a site preparation study done by Dr. Ed Buckner, who's in the department. And it was a study to establish pine on a wide spacing. So just to kind of summarize those treatments I have, there's a tornado disturbed area that no salvage harvest went on in. And then there's two areas that after the tornado, they were salvaged. And then there's two areas that after they were salvaged, were then slashed, And then adjacent to all of these areas were two clear cuts from the Buckner study. So in the summer of 1993, Karen Andreas, one of Dr. Bueller's master's students, started a project looking at small mammal communities. She was looking at their activity in the tornado disturbed area versus the clear cut disturbed area. And then the following year, 94, Chris Newbold, another one of Dr. Bueller's students, looked at bird communities within those two areas as well as the salvaged area. And as part of his project, he took very extensive data on vegetation, which I'll get to in a little bit. So taking it out, looking at Tennessee on the whole and its tornado disturbance regime, if you will. When looking at all tornadoes on average, as you can see here, there's an annual average of 15 tornadoes that hit Tennessee every year. And just looking at East Tennessee, there's been 140 recorded tornadoes since 1950. And in Anderson County, there's been 5. Now, some of you may know tornadoes are ranked on a scale from F0 to F5. When you take out the F0 and F1 tornadoes, there's a lot less tornadoes. And in Tennessee on the whole, there's an average of 4 per year. And since 1950, there's been 56 strung to violent storms in East Tennessee, which is less than 1 per year. And in Anderson County, there's only been 1. It's the one basis for this study. It was an F3 tornado. So tying that all together, the fact that, you know, tornadoes in, especially in East Tennessee and, well, in East Tennessee are relatively predictable. It's kind of tough to study the vegetation response after. With that said, there has been research done in the East after tornado disturbances. A lot of these studies, though, only look 1, 2, or 3 years following disturbance, and very few of them go far beyond that, looking at 10 years or more of the vegetation response to the disturbance. Even more or even less studies have looked at salvage operations afterwards and compared the vegetation response between salvage and just tornado disturbed areas. So the fact that we have a tornado disturbed area and two different salvage treatments for the study is very unique. So the objectives of this study are to compare stand characteristics between treatments, namely species composition, diversity, stocking, and structure. I also want to compare coarse woody debris loads between treatments, namely coarse woody density, percent cover of the coarse woody debris, and the coarse. Also, on a broad scale, I want to compare natural and anthropogenic disturbances. Sometimes clear cuts will be compared to tornadoes or wind disturbances. And we all know that the processes are very different, but I'd like to be able to see, is the vegetation response 14 years afterwards much different? And lastly, I mentioned that Chris Newbold took a vegetation data. I want to try to create a successional timeline from 1 year post-disturbance to 14 years post-disturbance and see how the vegetation has changed since then. Unfortunately, I only have the tornado and salvage data sets from him, but there's still two areas that will be interesting to compare. So for this project, my null hypothesis is that all treatments are not similar. And these will be tested for looking at the cluster analysis, seeing how these different things break out. Diversity, diameter distributions, stem densities, and coarse woody debris, volume, percent cover, and density. Some expectations that I have from observations and the literature, as far as diversity is concerned for herbaceous and woody species, there won't be that much of a difference between all the treatments. For stem densities, the amount of stems per acre, I expect there to be it to be different across all treatments based on observations I've made. Looking at diameter distribution, I expect the distribution of tornado area to be different from the salvage area, and both of those to be different in the salvage and slash and clear cut areas. Well, with that said, I think the salvage and slash and clear cut areas will have similar diameter distributions based on how they were harvested, Both were harvested down to a 2-inch diameter. But due to the fact that the salvage and slash is 4 growing seasons younger than the clear cut, I think their diameter distributions will be offset a little bit. And lastly, I expect that for all treatments, coarse woody debris volumes, densities, and percent covers will be different based on what was taken off the site. So as I said before, my study site's in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, specifically the UT Forest Resources and Research and Education Center, which many people call the I'm sure some of you have been there. My project set up in a complete random design, 4 treatments and 2 blocks per treatment. As you can see here, tornado areas are in orange, salvage areas are in red, and salvage and slash areas are in green, and the clear cut areas are next to the tornado damaged areas, and they're in blue. This is my plot layout. All plots were laid out on transects, starting with a randomized start point. They were spaced evenly within blocks, but between blocks they were spaced differently, and this was due to the fact that blocks were of different sizes. This is a table showing how many plots were taken in each block. T represents tornado, S salvage, and SS salvage and slash. You'll notice I have nothing up there for clear cuts. This part of the study was kind of added on afterwards, and due to the way Dr. Buckner's study was set up, we're still trying to figure out how we're going to lay out our plots for that. So for each vegetation plot, there's a series of nested plots. Started with an overstory plot that was a tenth acre in size with a plot radius of 37 feet 3 inches. From plot center, percent slope, aspect, and foot position were determined. And then all 4.5 inches in diameter or greater were measured, put into 1-inch diameter classes, and recorded by species. Then the overstory plot was a midstory plot that was 1/50th acre in size. It radius of 16 feet 8 inches. 0.5 inches to 4.4 inches were measured, put into 1-inch diameter classes, and recorded by species. Next were 2 understory plots that were 1/3 of a chain or 22 feet perpendicular to the transect line. Put these outside of the plot because there was a lot of activity going on at plot center and we didn't want to trample our plots and be able to not determine what different species were. So at each of these plot, any woody species that were less than 1.5 inches in diameter but taller than 4 feet, their individuals were recorded by species. Then all woody plants that were less than 4 feet tall, their presence was recorded by species, and same for the herbaceous plants. We broke up in species and species groups. For some of the groups, we had trouble identifying. Starting real soon here, I'll begin a coarse woody debris inventory using the line intersect method described by Karen Waddell. This is also the same method that the FIA, Division of the Forest Service, uses. We use the same overstory plots that we used for the vegetation data. From plot center, we'll have 3 transects going 0, 135, and 225 degrees. Such lines will be 37 feet 3 inches. A log will be measured if it is greater than 5 inches in diameter, and for the minimum diameter, and the tree must be 3.3 feet or 1 meter in length. Measurements will be made at the small end of the log. Diameter measurements will be made at the small end of the log. Large end of the log, total log length will also be measured. This is an image kind of breaking down how things will be measured. I know the wording's small there, but the most important thing is that the central axis of the log must cross the transect line. As in this bottom one here, the axis of the log doesn't cross the transect line, and therefore that tree would not be measured. Due to the fact that, you know, we're going to get logs that are greater than 5 inches when they cross the line, but they'll go down to a diameter smaller than 5 inches. Log length will be measured from the large diameter end down to the minimum 5-inch diameter, and then therefore our small end diameter would be 5 inches. due to the nature that trees have limbs, and we're probably going to get some trees that cross the line. Their limbs cross the line, but the main bole of the log doesn't. We'll measure the log length from where it attaches to the main bole of the tree out to its either small end diameter or 5-inch diameter. For trees that fork, we'll treat the small diameter fork as if it were a limb, measure the length from the small end diameter to where it attaches to the tree. For the larger diameter fork, we'll treat that as the main bole of the tree from the small end diameter down to the base of the log. This data will then be plugged into these equations from DeVries' equation for line intersect method, and we'll get volume of a log for each log that we measured and put that and expand it on a per acre basis. Then we'll also on logs per acre and a total. I'd like to thank my major advisor, Dr. Clatterbuck, my committee members, Dr. Jen Schweitzer, from EEB, Dr. Callie Schweitzer from Forest Service, and Richard Evans, director out at the Education Center. And also, in my data collection, finding herbaceous species that I didn't really know. And then all the staff out at Oak Ridge that made a lot of accommodations for me, and the Department of Forestry, Wildlife, and Fisheries. So with that said, I will take any questions. The slash from like this. Okay, the question was how decomposed is the woody debris from the storm? In the unsalvaged areas, or what I call the tornado areas, the average diameter there used to be, you know, in the high teens or 20s. And so a lot of those logs are still, you know, really intact and really of sound structure. They haven't decomposed much at all. But in areas like the salvage and salvage and slash where small diameter trees were left, they've decomposed quite a bit to the point where you don't notice a lot of it. So. How like it was set up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The question was how the two replicates were set up with the one tornado. This was how this was kind of the design I got handed to me. The replicates come, I guess, from the fact that they were cut at different times. I struggle with this as well, I think, on design, considering that these were set up and cut without statistical analysis. So I guess I'm still not understanding your question per se, but. Yeah, and as did the tornado. So there were two blocks for each treatment area. Does that answer? Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, they were set up in paired watersheds for the fact. Yeah, they were set up in paired watersheds, and that's how they were divided apart initially. Anything else?